Isaiah 2, now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Eternal will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And listen to this, many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law, that's the Torah, the law will go forth from Zion. Now, the Torah is the instruction of life, the instructions, how you do, how you live life. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem, and he will not, and he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for the many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up a sword against the nation, neither will they learn war anymore. So God's going to show those these laws, these great laws, and the principles of living. Now, God's laws don't always need a policeman. You know, we pass a law, then you have to tell the policeman. I was driving through Pasadena one day, and they were almost always turned left. I didn't notice. They stopped, put a siren, no more turning left on that street. So I came down, I turned left. There was a policeman, because they just passed that law, and they probably knew people wouldn't remember. So I turned, and there was, I didn't see the no left turn sign. You know, you get in the habit, and the policeman came to enforce it. But see, God's laws don't always have to be enforced that way. God's laws, in many ways, are like a speed bump. They don't want to hire a policeman on certain streets, but they don't want you speeding. So they put this speed bump on. If you speed, guess what's going to happen to you and to your car? You're going to ruin your shocks. You're going to hit your head on the top of the thing, and you're just going to, and after a while you say, you know what? It's not worth it for me to try to drive that fast over here. I'm ruining my car. I'm hitting my head on that ceiling. It's not worth it. So many times God's laws are like the speed bump that you see on streets. They don't have to have a cop there. They don't have to have a policeman there. They don't have to have a sheriff there. It enforces itself. Now, one of the things I think we're going to teach people in regard to relationships and other things is what Jesus said. And Jesus said this statement in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version here. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, let me read this in the complete Jewish Bible, because it summarizes a little better. Always treat people as you would like them to treat you. That sums up the teaching of the law and the prophets. Now, if you understand law and prophets, see, there were three sections of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was made into three sections: the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, or the writing section. Okay? Jesus is saying this statement that he is making right here is the summation of all the teachings of the law and the prophet. Treat people the way you want them to treat you. Now, Paul put it a little bit differently. He wrote another thing that expands on it a little bit. And I think we have to teach people this. If they come to Zion, they need to be taught this. Paul wrote it in the book of Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived." A lot of people are deceived. But he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You don't mock God. So people think, well, I can get away with it. I can go over those speed bumps. I can go with what I, you know, and I'll get away with it. My car won't be damaged. I won't hit my head. I won't crash. No, God is not mocked, Paul said. For whatever a man sows, that this he will also reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Now, he's talking about flesh. In the book of Galatians, you know what the works of the flesh are. For works of the flesh in chapter 5 are what? Adultery, fornication, murders, evils, stealings, lack of self-control, all these things, drunkenness, carousings, and all these things. And those are the works of the flesh. So he says, if you sow to that flesh, then you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit... What's the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, godliness, faith, self-control. Those are kindness and all that. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going of the Spirit reap eternal life. God's not mocked. It's what you sow. Let us not lose heart. Let's not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. In due time, you know, you get weary doing good. I'm tired of doing good. Don't let us do good. In due time we will reap. There's no time. We'll get it. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of faith, that is, fellow brethren, fellow Christians. The world's way is generally selfishness, you know. Let's get it. You ever get in the line of people and you see people crowding in? Sometimes there are a few people, they're always in there crowding in there and see if they can get there faster and crowd the way, you know, get for themselves. They even had game shows, you know, they give you a bag or a basket, see how much you can gather as fast as you can get it in there, get it faster, the more you can get it for yourself, you know. It's a game show, it's all right, it's not a big deal. But Paul said this, here's God's way, Acts chapter 20 and verse 34 and 35. You yourselves know. Now, Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders. He's about to leave there. He's about to leave Ephesus. He says to them, you yourselves know that these hands, Paul's hands, ministered to my own needs. I worked, he said. I worked. I paid my own way. And to the men who were with me. Paul, what was Paul? What was Paul? What was his profession?
Tent maker.
Yeah, he was a tabernacle maker. He was a tent maker. Skene. He was a skene maker in the Greek. He was a tent maker. So he said he sold them. Then he made tents. He must have sold them for people or booths, and he sold them. So he worked. He said, these hands have ministered to my own needs and to those who were with me. In everything, he tells these Ephesian elders, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And you must remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you will not find those words in the Gospels. They are not in any of the four Gospels. Paul is reminding us of what Jesus said, and he must have said it to Paul, and it's recorded. We wouldn't even have those words if the book of Acts had not been written and quoting Paul to the Ephesian elders. I'm sure there were many things that Jesus said. We don't even have them written down. You know, I mean, you go with this guy 3.5 years and all the things that he could have said, and not every word that he said was written down. But enough. For salvation. Enough for us. So, the book of Romans tells us that God compensates. God rewards and God repays. Now, not always immediately, You don't always get it right away. But listen to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read certain selected verses. Chapter 12. Dropping down to verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. What happens when you curse? What kind of seeds are you sowing when you curse? Aren't we going to reap what we sow? If you curse, he says, don't bless them. Don't curse them. Say nice things about them. They're mean to you. They're hateful to you. They're persecuting you. But say nice things. Be good to them. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. You're sympathetic. You're caring. What kind of seeds are you sowing? Listen to verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. I'm going to emphasize that first word in the New American Standard. Never pay back evil for evil. Never. Think of that. Never. Why? Somebody does evil to you. You do evil back. Okay? You cancel out. You cancel out each act. Because he did evil to you, or she did evil to you. You do evil back. It cancels out. You're just the same thing. There's no debt. Rather, he says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. But dropping down further to verse 19, never take your own revenge. That's evil for evil, right? Beloved, he said, don't take your own revenge, but leave room. Listen to this. Leave room for the wrath of God, implied wrath. For it is written, now he's quoting Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay? Now he also quotes another phrase, Proverbs 25. But if your enemy is hungry, now here's your enemy. Okay, he's not your friend. He's your enemy. He's trying to hurt you. He's against you. But if your enemy is hungry, what do you do? My advice always has been to my clients: always do the right thing. Always do the proper thing. Always do it. If it's the right thing, if it's the kind thing, if it's the right, proper thing, always do the right thing. So your enemy's hungry. Somebody's hungry, but he's your enemy. He needs food. What do you do? Well, you're my enemy. You ain't getting none. You know, I'm going to let you starve. You know, you dirty bum. You just go ahead and starve. You know, no. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. Now, he's your enemy. He wouldn't give it to you because he's your enemy. He doesn't like you. He's not a good person like you, maybe. And so, now listen to this phrase, quoting from Proverbs. Paul, quoting from Proverbs. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And so he says this, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, your enemy doesn't like you, but you're being good to him or her. And therefore, guess what? Look at the balance. Look at the sowing. You're sowing goodness, care, love. What if the enemy is going to sow? He's your enemy. He wants to hurt you. James chapter 3 and verse 18 says, The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The seed, it's in the seed whose fruit, when this seed blobs up, it's going to blow, come up to righteousness. You plant the seed, what is it going to come to? You're sowing seeds of righteousness. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, Jesus said it this way in the book of Luke, chapter 6. But I say, and this is Luke chapter 6. He's talking a long time here. We'll have to adjust some of it with other scriptures, but it's okay. Listen to verses 27 through 38 here. But I say unto you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now, you're getting the wrong deal, but you're still being nice. You're still being kind. You're still being loving. What kind of seeds are you sowing? Love, peace, patience, and goodness. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Now, we have to balance that out. It's not that you can let somebody take everything, but, you know, what it's talking about is, first of all, you have control over your life. Somebody wants to hit me on his cheek. That doesn't mean I fade away. I go running and crying. I'm never going to come back. No, here, look, I'm still in the game. I'm still in the game. You want to take another shot? You can, but I'm still in the game. You're not going to push me away. You're not going to destroy me because you hit me on the cheek. The idea is you're controlling your life. So we can't. But we're not going to sit some, you know, I wonder one time we had a minister who went to somebody's house and the husband came in. He didn't like his wife listening to a certain program and all that. And so he got mad and he punched the minister in the face. And the minister said, oh, okay. And he punched this side too. We had to kind of say, you know, Jesus did not stand there and let people punch him. You remember when the crowd was going to grab him and throw him in? Jesus escaped. He didn't, you know. So it's metaphorical, not. It's sort of like the metaphor, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. It's not, you're not supposed to pluck it out. It's a metaphor. It's an idea. You're not supposed to take that literally. And you're not supposed to take it literally if your right hand offends you, cut it off. I remember there was a woman that misunderstood her. She cut her hand off. I don't know what her hand was doing to defending her, but she cut it off with a hatchet. Nearly died in the process. So we have to be sort of, you know, balanced. You know, we take these things, you're not going to sit. Now, here's what Jesus says, verse 31 of Luke. He says the same thing that Matthew 7:12 said. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit do you have? For even sinners do that. You know, they love those that love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit do you have? Even sinners do the same. So if all we are is just exactly like everybody else, and that's the law of that's the law of relationships, right? Somebody does good to you, what are you supposed to do? You do good to them. And that's true. You should do that. But if the only people you're ever good to is the people who do good to you, what are you more than anybody else? But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. That doesn't mean lend your whole house. It doesn't mean lend all your bank accounts. It doesn't mean that. It means lend. Somebody asks you, hey, can I borrow 20? You lend them. And so you're saying, I'm not sitting on this for return. And if you do this and you do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, listen to verse 25. This is Luke 6, verse 25. And your reward will be great. You will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and to evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, that is, condemn other people, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Notice the return on the seeds. What you sow, you're going to reap. You pardon, you're merciful, you get back mercy. You're kind, you get back kindness. And all these things are embedded here. Now, not necessarily right away. So he says, it's sort of reciprocal, see? Do not judge, you won't be judged. Do not condemn, you won't be condemned. Pardon, you'll be pardoned. You see, notice the reciprocity here. In verse 38, give. and it will be given to you. They will pour it into your lap, a good measure, pressed down. Yeah, how do you like things? You know, you're going to put it in a jar. You want to just let it go. If you press it down, it'll be more. You get more, right? Press it down. Shaken together. Let's just shake that jar, you know, because you pour it in first. Let's just shake it a little bit and things drop down further. You have more room. That's how you're going to get it. Shaken together. Running over. If it's a liquid, it'll be run over the top, right up to the top. For by your standard, listen to this, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Your own standard. Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he was collecting for the poor saints in Jerusalem. He said, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats, listen to this phrase, over disaster will not go unpunished. Let's put that in a positive way. Whoever gloats over disaster will themselves be punished. You don't gloat over disaster. Even if it's somebody you don't like. Oh boy, their house burned down. Oh boy, wasn't that great? Their house burned down. That's what they deserve. Don't gloat over it. What seeds are you sowing in your mind? What seeds are you sowing in your heart? What kind of person are you when you gloat over disaster? Proverbs 17 and verse 11. A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Sooner or later, a messenger will come against him, a rebellious person. Listen to Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. One who is gracious to the poor lends to the eternal, and he will repay him for his good deed. So what are you sowing? You're sowing kindness. You're sowing love. You're sowing mercy. You're sowing care. Now that's poor, legitimately poor. I don't mean poor because they're out drinking and, you know, they've spent all their money on drugs and all that. That's sad. But I would give them food. I'd never give a person on the street money, because if they're addicted to some substance, they'll just use it for that. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. So what kind of a person are you wanting to be? Loving? Kind? What does this make you? I won't rejoice when my enemy falls. I won't be happy when he stumbles. That means I'm filled with love. Love your enemies, right? Are we supposed to love our enemies? Yes. Love those you don't like. Care for those you don't care for. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. In other words, you're casting seeds, you're sowing seeds. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 from the New English Translation said, send your grain overseas, for after many days you will get a return. When you sow in life, you're sowing in life. It's not literal grain. You're sowing in life your thoughts, your actions, and they're going to come back. People need to understand that. You know what the smallest package in the world is? You know what that is? A person all wrapped up in themselves. That's the smallest package in the world. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson understood some of these things. And he wrote, he's not a Bible person. He wrote an essay called Compensation. It's a long essay. You can read it. You can find it online and all that. I'm just going to quote selected verses because I can't take time to read it all. He says, every act rewards itself. Every act. Men call the circumstance the retribution. Okay, well, man, things have happened to me. That's the retribution. But he says, the casual retribution is already in that act. The thing, the act. The retribution is inseparable from the act, but is often spread over a long time so that it does not become distinct until after many years. You don't notice. The retribution is in the act. There are people who are thieves. There are people who are liars. There are people who steal. There are people who murder. There are people who and they thought they got away with it. But he says it's already in that act. The retribution is contained. The specific stripes may not follow until later after the offense, but they always follow because they accompany it. Crime and punishment grow out of one stem, he writes. Punishment is the fruit that ripens within the flower of the pleasure which concealed it. Cause and effect, means and ends, seed and fruit cannot be severed. For the effect already blooms in the cause, and the end pre-exists in the means, and the fruit is already in the seed. You sow it, it's already there. Men suffer all their life long under the foolish superstition that they can be cheated. We all think, oh, somebody's going to cheat us, somebody's going to cheat us. Who's cheated me more than any person? Me. I've done more to cheat me than anybody will ever cheat me. Men suffer all their life long under the foolish superstition that they can be cheated. But it is as impossible for a man to be cheated by anyone but himself as a thing to be and not to be at the same time. We cheat ourselves. We sow the wrong seeds. We put into life the wrong actions, the wrong thoughts. There is a third silent party to all our bargains. The nature and soul of things takes on itself the guarantee of the fulfillment of every contract, so that honest service cannot come to loss. If you serve an ungrateful master, serve him the more. Put God in your debt. Every stroke will be repaid. The longer the payment is withheld, the better for you, because compound interest on compound interest is the way God will do it. Every excess causes a defeat. Every defeat, an excess. Every sweet has its sour. Every evil has its good. Every faculty which is a receiver of pleasure has an equal penalty put on its abuse. It is to answer for its moderation with its life. For every grain of wit, there's a grain of folly. For every thing you have missed, you know, people always worry, oh, I missed that. I missed that. For everything you missed, you gained something else. You didn't go to Paris, but you came to Prescott. You gained something else. Everything you miss, you gain something else. And for everything you gain, you lose something. Somebody hands you a motorcycle. Here you are. It's your motorcycle. You're going to lose something. Maybe your life in this case, but you're going to lose something. You're going to lose a certain amount of time, certain amount of energy. I want to drive that motor. I'm going to learn it. I've got to do this. You lose something. If riches increase, they are increased that use them. If the gatherer gathers too much, nature takes out of the man what she puts in his treasure chest, swells the estate, but kills the owner. Now, David seemed to understand this. King David, You remember when David was, he was running from Absalom during this time. He was running from Absalom. Everything turned bad for him. Absalom, his son, now is after him. And Absalom's men, with the very wise man, you know, is telling him, let me take the things. Let's go after David. Let's get him. And David had one man try to go over and counter that wisdom because he said, man, this guy knows everything he says is like the oracle of God. So, but during this time, David is on the run. He's on the run. And he runs into a man. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 16. I won't summarize. I won't read it all, but I'll just tell you. So here comes a man from the house of Saul whose name was Shimei. S-H-I-M-E-I, Shimei. The son of Gera, he came cursing David. He sees David, he's cursing him as he came. He threw stones at David. Now David's there, he's picking up stones. David's surrounded by some of his top men. He's throwing stones at David and at all David's servants. Now they're carrying swords. I mean, they're ready to fight. They've been fighting, you know. Shimei, said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless, no good person. The Eternal has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul. Now, that's a false accusation. David never tried to kill Saul. He was never after. Saul was after David, but David never tried to kill Saul. David loved Saul. David loved Jonathan, the house of Saul, David loved. Get out of here, you man of bloodshed, worthless fellow. The Eternal has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Eternal has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil. Now here's David having to listen to this. Half of this is not true. It's all a lot of falsehood. For you are a man of bloodshed. Now, one of David's men standing by, whose name was Abishai, he said, let me go over and cut his head off. He's just kind of a crazy old guy. I'm a crazy guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's yelling and making and throwing stones. Says, I got a sword here. Let me just go over and whack his head off, and that'll be it. But listen to what David said. David said, let him alone. Let him curse. For the Eternal has told him to curse. Somehow it's put it in. And then he said in verse 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12, perhaps the Eternal will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. Let him curse. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it wrongly. I'm going to take it unfairly. But I'm going to take it. I didn't do anything to the house of Saul. I think David was trying to change the course here. Listen to this proverb and never forget it. Proverbs 17, verse 13. He who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. He who returns evil for good. That, my friends, is exactly what David did. When he took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, then she got pregnant. Then he had to bring Uriah back. Hey, you know, give me a report on what's going on the front lines. How's it going? You know, how's the war with the Philistines going? And he says, oh, look, while you're here, go on down, you know, go on down to your wife and enjoy the time with your wife. I know you've been away from her. You're out in the front lines. And Uriah spends the night on the steps of David's castle. And when he was told, did he go down? No, he spent the night all So he calls him in, gives him a big meal, feeds him a little wine, gets him a little liquored up. You know, you've got a beautiful wife down there. Why don't you go down and enjoy time with your wife? Uriah once again spends the night on the steps. He won't go. He's going to not do it. He told David, I can't go down and enjoy my wife when these other men are out fighting on the front lines. I can't do that. I'm a part of fighting for Israel. I'm a part of the army. I want to do good. I'm trying to serve. Here he's trying to do the right thing. He's fighting for David's kingdom, right? I mean, he's fighting the Philistines who are coming against David's kingdom. I can't do it. David says, well, okay, take this note. I've got a note here. Seal it. Take this to Joab. And he trusts this guy's not going to open the note. This guy's so loyal, so dedicated, so forthright, so honest. He takes it to Joab. Joab opens the note. It says, put this man in the front of the battle. And when he's in the middle of it, withdraw his support, withdraw the troops, so that he gets killed. He's overwhelmed by the Philistines. Pull everybody back. So Joab had to get this settled, pull everybody back, and Uriah is out there, gets killed. That, my friends, is the classic returning evil for good. And the Bible says, and what did Nathan say, the prophet say to David? Troubles will not depart from your house. The one thing you don't want to do. I mean, the people could curse you. You bless them, okay? That's fine. But somebody who does good to you, you must never do evil in return, because you will be buying a package of troubles and sorrows that you will regret all your life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read this. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. David, I think, was trying to do that, maybe to counter some of the curses that came from what he did. For what credit is there? If when you sin and you're harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it patiently, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Big treasure chest for you. Yes. Rewards and punishment. Rewards are coming. There's no doubt about it. Bible talks about that in Revelation 2 and verse 23. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. This is Jesus' promise to the churches. And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly. This is Jesus. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. There's a law out here. We have to teach this to people. There are a lot of people that don't understand it. They don't understand why their lives are miserable. They don't understand why they're not prosperous. They don't understand how they're unhappy. They don't understand this. Some people call it the golden rule. Emerson said it was the law of compensation. But I like the way Paul put it. Whatever you sow, you will surely reap.